It's The Takeaway. I'm Matt Katz, filling in this week for Tanzina Vega. Thanks for being with us. We start, of course, in Washington, where lawmakers are at odds over the push for impeachment. And we've been hearing from our listeners on this. You get the first take today.
Yeah, this is Eric from Sanford, Florida. It's about time. With everything that's going on so far, it's about time that the Democrats got together and decided to do what they need to do. I just wish it was more bipartisan, because this would not have been put up with any other human being.
Just like after the Mueller report, so we're to believe that the phone call, the transcript made to Ukraine, doesn't explicitly state quid pro quo, but we're supposed to read between the lines like psychics and put one in there, like the Democrats always do. I find this extremely hypocritical, and I really hope this all blows up in the face of the Democrats.
Today, the acting director of National Intelligence, Joseph McGuire, is testifying to Congress about the whistleblower complaint that started this all just a couple of weeks back. And this morning, the House Intelligence Committee released a declassified version of the whistleblower complaint. In it, the whistleblower writes, quote, "In the course of my official duties, I have received information from multiple U.S. government officials that the President of the United States is using the power of his office to solicit interference from a foreign country in the 2020 election." Later in the hour, we're going to hear from Republican House member Phil Rowe on President Trump's phone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. But first, we're going to get the latest on this story from Max Kuttner, who covers the FBI, Justice Department, and Russia probes, and Rebecca Ballhaus, Wall Street Journal White House reporter. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, Max, the whistleblower complaint has been declassified. I imagine you're still digesting it all, I'm sure. But so far, is there anything in it that really stands out to you that wasn't in the call transcript summary that we saw yesterday?
Yeah, Matt, the question had been, why do we still need to see this whistleblower complaint if we saw the call memo yesterday? And this answers those questions. There's a lot in here that wasn't in the call. There's a lot of insight, and there's other allegations too. The whistleblower alleges that the whistleblower thought this was an attempt to get a foreign country to interfere in 2020, basically a repeat of what we saw in 2016. And so it's 9 pages long, and it has allegations not only about the call and those we learned yesterday, but also about the alleged cover-up of the call and how the White House treated it, how White House lawyers instructed White House staff to treat the call records, and how those call records were handled differently than normally.
What does that mean? Tell me more about this cover-up. What do you mean it was handled differently?
That means that it was kept on a different system, the records. White House staff allegedly were instructed not to keep certain records of it. The whistleblower said that that's just not normally how this is handled. And the whistleblower said he had spoke to White House officials who were, quote, deeply disturbed by this, and that a lot of White House officials and others had been listening in. A dozen people had been listening in. So this was known about, this call, and yet this was the one person who came forward.
Rebecca, what about you? I imagine you're still going through this thing, but what's your reaction to the declassified complaint, and how is this so far playing for lawmakers?
Well, I think we certainly saw a lot of lawmakers who reviewed the complaint yesterday come out expressing a good deal of alarm about the whole situation. They said this goes far beyond just this call, and it really portrays a more troubling pattern of behavior by the president. So in addition to moving the records of the call to the classified computer system, despite the fact that, according to the whistleblower and the officials he or she spoke with, it doesn't contain any particularly sensitive national security information, the complaint also raises a lot of concerns about what Rudy Giuliani was doing and his involvement in U.S. foreign policy, and says that officials in the State Department and in the White House were continuously running up against him in Ukraine as he was seeking to sort of pressure Ukrainians there to undertake these investigations that the president had raised on his call with Zelensky in July, and that this was something that they found gravely concerning, that there was this idea that if Ukrainians didn't, quote, play ball on the investigations the president was asking for, that they might not get certain things in return.
Max, having now seen the declassified complaint, do you have a better sense of why acting DNI McGuire who's testifying today, why he and the DOJ decided not to move forward with it?
Well, frankly, Matt, I don't. It does seem that the allegations in here are pretty serious, and it, as we know, was deemed by the Intelligence Community Inspector General to be to meet the urgent concern requirement. And so I think lawmakers are really going to be grilling McGuire today on, you know, given how serious these allegations seem, interference in the 2020 election, allegedly, why did you not deem it enough to move forward? And why did you seek that Justice Department help in not moving it forward?
And the Washington Post reported Wednesday that he had threatened to resign if he couldn't speak freely to Congress. Now, the White House says that wasn't true, but can you walk us through that story?
Right. He's denying that report. That report is being denied, and so I think he's going to be asked about that a lot today, and he'll set the record clear on that. I also know that observers of whistleblower policy, they want to know from McGuire in his testimony today, they have bigger questions. They want to know, they want him to be grilled on what sort of damage this could do, he thinks it could do to the whistleblower process, which is an important process. It goes back a long time. So they have some bigger questions, but I think he'll also face these more specific questions like the one you just brought up.
And what about you, Rebecca? What are you going to be looking for during DNI McGuire's testimony today?
Well, one thing just on his interactions with the DOJ, I think Barr's role in all of this is really interesting because he, of course, was invoked on the president's call with Zelensky. He repeatedly told the Ukrainian president that he was going to have both Rudy Giuliani and the attorney general reach out to him and help him in these investigations that the president wanted to see into interference in the 2016 election and into Joe Biden. So what role Barr played in determining what happened with the complaint and whether the whistleblower should be allowed to testify and all of these things, I think is going to be an interesting thing to watch, as well as what Barr's role was in the DOJ review of this complaint to begin with, because we did learn yesterday that the complaint was referred to DOJ to possibly examine if the president had committed a campaign finance violation by seeking a foreign power's help in the election. After a couple of weeks, they determined that it didn't rise to that level. But the question is, what was Barr's role in that?
And could Barr recuse himself? I mean, Congressman Nadler, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, has called for Attorney General Barr to recuse himself. Is there any indication that that could happen?
What we were told yesterday is that he was not involved in the analysis of the campaign finance violation or a possible violation, but that he didn't think it needed to be, that he needed to consult with ethics officials on an official recusal. And I would also just note the issue of recusal for an attorney general ever since Jeff Sessions did and the president let him have it for that decision for more than a year. I think any attorney general serving in the Trump administration is going to be very reluctant to recuse themselves from anything.
Yeah, Trump still talks about that. Max, does it look like the whistleblower himself could testify in front of Congress?
Well, there was some reporting yesterday to that effect saying that the whistleblower's lawyers are in the process of trying to make that happen. And so far, this is dependent on whether those lawyers will receive the proper security clearances for it. So there is discussion of that. However, people in the whistleblower policy world who track this sort of thing told me that that's not necessarily a good thing, that there is this whistleblower process. You go to the inspector general, you file the complaint. Sometimes they forward the complaint to Congress. Often they do. But that doesn't mean that the whistleblower himself or herself should testify.
Got it. And Rebecca, this seems like a lifetime ago, but yesterday Trump gave his first news conference since the impeachment inquiry landed. Did anything notable come out of that?
That's a good question. I think that news conference, everybody in New York and in Washington expected it to be sort of the moment that the president was going to let Democrats have it for announcing this impeachment inquiry while he was at the United Nations, express continued frustration over how this transcript of his call is being interpreted. But it was really a much odder news conference than usual in that I think he spoke for about 30 minutes on a number of different subjects. He had the Treasury Secretary and the Secretary of State up there with him. And then he took a handful of questions and left, but it was a much less fiery performance than we've grown used to from him at these press conferences. And I mean, he had, of course, spoken to reporters a number of times earlier in the day, but I think it was a little bit less combative and more sort of meandering than we are used to.
Yeah, he did mention a letter that Democratic senators had sent to Ukraine's prosecutor in general, and he was implying that I think that Democratic senators were pressuring Ukraine. Max, was he muddying the waters there, or is there something to this?
I think the president has been reacting the way he did at the start of the Mueller investigation more than a year ago, where he's on one hand appearing to cooperate or at least feigning cooperation, and on the other hand, he is, as you said, trying to muddy these waters. He's recruiting allies both in Congress and also in the media to support him on this. And so I think the tactics have been similar. So yes, a bit of muddying the waters, a bit of playing it hot in some news conferences, cold in others.
Got it. Rebecca, politics question for you. What does this mean politically for Joe Biden running for president? When Republicans are questioned about the impeachment inquiry, they often respond with, but what did Joe Biden do here? So does impeachment leave Biden vulnerable because he's tied up with this whole story?
I think this is really the big question for Biden going forward is how does he handle this effort by the Trump campaign to smear him compared to how Hillary Clinton handled it in 2016. And there are, of course, different situations. I think there was a more active aspect to the accusations of using a personal email server that Hillary Clinton faced in 2016. These accusations that Trump and Giuliani are levying against Biden are much older and more discredited at this point. But the question is, how does he handle it? And does he fight back? Does he not talk about it so that we're not always talking about Ukraine and his son? Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be really the challenge for him, especially as he's, you know, still facing off against about 20 other contenders, is can he take these attacks from Trump and sort of repel them in a strong way, or does the conversation now all become about what he did in Ukraine with his son?
It seems like it will continue to be about what he did in Ukraine as long as he's still in the race. That seems like the ammunition that the Republicans and Trump will use against him.
I think that's definitely the case.
Rebecca Ballhouse is a Wall Street Journal White House reporter, and Max Kuttner covers the FBI, Justice Department, and Russia probes. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.